Feel free to come to the altar anytime you want to. He's stirring around in here tonight. I like that, don't you? When the Lord gets to stirring around, open your heart. Just open your heart. And do like little Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. In early summer 1978, I was young enough then, I never woke up that time of the day. You know, people say they sleep like a baby. No, they never had a baby, if that's their saying. The saying is, sleep like a teenager. Now, there's somebody that can sleep. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake. So I started listening for footsteps. I thought somebody had broken into the house. Had an linoleum on the floor. Thought, I'll hear them if I'll be real still and be real quiet. Nobody. And once I was convinced that nobody was in the house, it wasn't supposed to be in there. I said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he said, Houston. I was 300 miles from Houston, working with my dad and my brother. We had started Farley Farm Supply, selling feed, seed, fertilizer, chemicals, such related things. I said, Lord, is that you? He said, Houston. I said, what do you want me to do? I didn't get another answer after that. I'm not talking about an audible voice, but it was so clear, it almost seemed like it. Somebody said, do you believe that the Spirit of God speaks to people like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. After that night? Oh, yeah, I believe it. I didn't even tell my wife. And just a few days later, I got a phone call from Brother Jack Wood. He said, my associate pastor just resigned, and he's going to Franklin, Louisiana to pastor a church. He said, would you be interested in coming to Houston as my associate? I said, if you'll give me 3 days to pray about that, I'll let you know in 3 days. That's a policy of mine, has been really since I got called to preach. If it's a major decision, I take 3 days to pray about it. If you can do it in 3 seconds, God bless you. If it's a big decision, I want 3 days to pray about it. After 3 days, I called him and I said, I believe God wants me to do that. He said, we'll have a U-Haul truck there. He told me what day, it was like 2 or 3 days later. We loaded up everything we owned. Headed to Houston. It was God's will for my life. What's the point? If you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. If you'll have faith, He'll reveal His will to you in His way and in His time. I was thinking, Brother Chris, I have an uncle who was at Pearl Harbor. He survived that bombing. And most of you know somewhat of the history of all that. And then we ended that war back when America believed in winning wars by using drastic means. The Enola Gay dropped atomic bombs. And annihilated the city. Somebody said, that's horrible. All those innocent civilians. It ended the war. How many Americans' lives were saved because of Nagasaki and Hiroshima? And the Emperor of Japan brought his sword, laid it out there. Unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. And they asked him after he did that. Japanese newspaper, why did you surrender unconditionally? You could have bargained for a better deal. He said, because the Americans had the technology to completely destroy Japan and everybody in it. And he said, we would have had nobody to worship us because they believe in ancestor worship. So they surrendered because they believed if they didn't, it was going to be the end of all their families' genealogies. And there would be nobody to worship. That Buddhism makes families tight. And it's a hard chain to break. My youngest son married a Korean lady who was devout Buddhist. And for generations before her, they were all devout Buddhists. He was working in South Korea at the time. He married her. His job transferred him to the Gulf of Mexico. A couple of years later, he brought her and her daughter, who is 22 now. My wife and I began to pray for our daughter-in-law, that God would give us wisdom how to reach her with the gospel. She had a table in the living room with all of her Buddhist paraphernalia on it. Now, that's a shock to the system of a King James Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. To walk in your son's house and look at a Buddha shrine. But it'll give you a burden. It's like that cemetery gave everybody in here a burden tonight. We prayed and we were asking God for an opportunity to talk to her. Her English was very limited. We knew it was going to be a battle just to get her to understand what we were talking about. But we were praying, asking God for wisdom. And lo and behold, she goes into the grocery store in Tomball, Texas. And there's a sushi stand in there run by a Korean lady who's born again. I'm talking about if you'll have faith in God, God will do things that you'll look back and say, wow! How in the world did this happen? I said last night, you got to have faith, but you got to have faith that will obey. And if you will obey by faith, there will be miracles performed. Supernatural miracles. This Korean sushi lady started witnessing to my daughter-in-law and asked if she could bring her pastor out to her house and talk to her. She went to a Korean church. So the sushi lady brought her pastor. They began to witness to my daughter-in-law. And probably in less than a month, she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. Then my wife and I started praying about how do we tell her you need to get rid of all this Buddha stuff. One morning we both woke up. About 6 o'clock in the morning. And we looked at each other and almost at the same time said, "It's time, isn't it?" And the other one said, "Yes. It's time to go talk to Yona." We got down and we prayed, asked God for wisdom, asked God to drive back the demonic forces of hell. We prayed, we quoted scripture about the blood. We sang some songs about the blood. We got up and we began to walk. They were living next door. We just had to walk. We got a gate between in the fence between our house and their house. Opened the gate, walked over there. And as soon as we got through the trees and where the gate was, we saw smoke coming up in the yard. They already had a bonfire going over there, and she was already chunking all that Buddha stuff in the fire. We didn't even have to talk to her about it. The Holy Ghost beat us to the punch. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We serve a great God. Oh, yeah, you can win them, brother. There'll be some times that you'll wonder how in the world you're going to do it. Great decision. I'm familiar with that linguistic school. I've known many missionaries who have gone there. And every one of them that's ever gone there said, "We are so glad we took that time. We didn't think we had 9 months to spare, but it was well worth it." Especially a language as hard as Japanese. Good decision. And I just wanted to give you that illustration to let you know God's able. Now they come to my son and his wife come to Shady Acres Baptist Church for Sunday morning. And as soon as we say amen, they go jump in their car and they drive to the Korean church and go to church there because they meet in a building. The Korean church meets in a building that English church owns, but they rent it out to the Koreans and they start at, I think, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon. So they go to our service and they beeline it over to the Korean church and go to church again. So she has to sit through the English service and my son has to sit through the Korean service. And I hadn't heard Dean McNeese. I haven't seen Brother Dean McNeese in probably 25 years. It encouraged me just to hear his name and he's still doing something. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm in John chapter 6 again tonight. I'm encouraged by that. Missionary. We had a young man in our church surrender to go to Japan some years ago, and the devil attacked him with all barrels blazing. Destroyed his marriage. His wife said, "If you're going to Japan, I'm out of here." He said, "Well, I believe that's where God called me." So she left. Then he got so discouraged, he kind of got out in the world after that. And on that story goes. But all I got to do when I'm talking to him is say something about Japan. It's still in his heart. Man, he's got a lot of baggage now. Did you know that if you decide you're willing to do something for God, and you got some faith, and you're willing to obey God, there's going to be some dark times in your life? May I tonight preach to you about that? What do you do when things are not going like you thought they should be going? John 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived, this is following up feeding the multitude that I preached about last night, the very next verse. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. Same thing He did in verse 3. Or in other words, when people try to exalt you, best thing you can do is get away from them. Preachers, don't get too proud of yourself when somebody else tells you how great you preached. Just get away from them. It's okay to say, thank you, I appreciate it, but then get away, because that will not help you. Even the Savior, when they said, we're going to take you and make you a king. He said, I'll see you later. He wasn't called to be a king yet. Verse 16, and when even was now come, His disciples went down to the sea. Mark said He constrained them to go. Get in the ship. And go to the other side. Verse 17, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to be. Last night my question was, do you have the faith to obey? Tonight, my question is, do you have the faith to keep going when you obeyed and it got dark and you couldn't find Jesus? Oh, you say, He'll never leave us and never forsake us. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some dark days where you say, where did He go? And it's going to get a little discouraging here. But if you'll stay to the end, it turns out all right. But in verse 17, it's dark and they can't find Jesus. I thought of the story told by Sister Lynn Mullins, Brother Ted Mullins' wife, in her first book that she wrote on their 4 7-year segments in Papua New Guinea. Brother Ted was going to go on an exploring journey. He was going to be gone for a day or two looking for a tribe that he had heard of that missionaries had never reached. Going to go look for their village or their dwelling place. He got up before daylight to start his journey. Told his wife, I probably won't be back till late tomorrow night. She tells this in her book. And now outside their grass hut, house, they had a hasp that they could close the door from the outside and put a lock on it to keep the rascals out. And he left, and just out of habit, he put the lock in the hasp and locked Sister Lynn and their son Jeremy in the house. Went on his journey. lot of things that they were needed to tend to. But they couldn't get out. And she said, I got so mad at him. Why did he lock the door on us? Now we can't get out. I'm talking about when things happen that you don't expect and you can't find Jesus. I said, Sister Lynn, did you pray? She says, I was so mad I couldn't pray. That's what I love about her book. She's so real. Hours and hours went by. I don't remember all the exact details, but after many hours, somebody came by and they heard them and they started yelling, we can't get out, we can't get out. And they took some kind of tool and they prized the whole thing off the door and they were able to get out. She was going to go out and do some kind of work with the generator. She said she was still aggravated. She was having to take a wing nut off to do something with this generator and she was frustrated that she was having to do that, even fool with the generator, and somehow she broke the wing nut. Now the generator's not even going to work. And it just goes on and on with disaster after disaster after disaster. And she's trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this generator? And she goes back in the house and there's a package laying there from her mother that she hadn't had time to open. She said, well, I wonder what Mama sent me. It doesn't look like cookies. She opened it up, and as old-timers tend to do, her mother had accumulated a can full of nuts and bolts and screws and washers, and had just packaged it up 6 months before and mailed it to Papua New Guinea. And Lynn Mullins opens the package, and there's one wing nut in the package. She looked at Jeremy and said, what are the chances that this will fit? He said, zero. And she took it out there and put it on that generator and it fit perfectly. And they were able to get it started, lighten her spirit. What a miracle that God would show up when she was in a dark, helpless situation. Here are the disciples and they're rowing. Mark says they're toiling in rowing. It's very difficult. It's very challenging. It's very exhausting. And it's dark and they can't see where they're going. And they're thinking, I wish Jesus was here. He'd know what to do. I'm telling you, if you really want to do something for God, and if you've got the faith to be obedient, you're going to have to experience some things that you haven't really thought too much about. To stay with it and get the job done. Number one, you're going to have some drama that you cannot control. We pretty much have grown up believing that if we work hard enough and smart enough and put enough money into it, we can fix anything. But when you get to the mission field, or even if you decide to pastor a church over here, sooner or later, you're going to get into some kind of drama that you have absolutely no control over whatsoever. Some of you parents are going to have a problem with one of your children. And when they were little, you would forcibly make them mind you. Then they grew up. And all your threats started bouncing off of them. Which is why you got to focus more on winning their heart than you work on demanding they do what you say. You can take that or leave it, but it's right. A lot of things I didn't do when I was growing up because I didn't want to hurt my mama. I'd think about it, and I'd think, if she finds out, this is going to just devastate her. And I'd decide, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to hurt my mom. If you got a child that doesn't mind hurting you, you're in big trouble already. You're going to have... And Americans are into drama. The most popular movies, drama. The biggest selling books, drama. Social media, drama queens. And not only do you have all these drama queens, but nowadays you have feminine men who are drama kings. Their estrogen is too high. And they get on social media and act like women. Really? Are you kidding me? Is that all you got to do? Get on social media and act like a woman? You are gender challenged. Next thing you know, you're not even going to know which restroom to go to. Took my wife on a cruise some time ago. We went in the evening, you know, you have a reservation at a table. We came out and I said, I'm going to go to the restroom here before we go back to the cabin. He said, all right. It was right there where you go into the dining area. Men, women, other. I'm serious. That'll probably be very common before long. Man. How messed up are we now? Talk about being dark. It's getting dark. You're going to try to do something for God and there's going to be some kind of drama come into the picture. Somebody don't like you. Somebody don't like your wife. Somebody don't like your children. I know a pastor in Ohio had a humongous church split because some of the people decided they didn't like his wife. Because she'd been a sergeant in the army and they got time to set up a fellowship hall. She'd just bark it out. Yeah, put the tables right over here. Get the chairs, put them right over there. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Let's get them out. Let's get ready. You know these independent Baptist men, they can't handle that. Well, they just blew the church up. I know a church in Texas that got blown up over a little yellow dump truck. A toy truck. They blew the church up because it got left out there on the sidewalk. And some old lady was going out of the service and she stepped on the little yellow dump truck, went out from under and broke her hip. And then people started blaming each other about whose kid left the truck out there. Tore the church up. Church is gone. Doesn't even exist anymore. All the devil had to have was one yellow dump truck. I can tell you about another church in Texas. Guy got hurt in a motorcycle accident. Lawsuit. He got some... $5 million. I don't remember the number exactly, so please don't Google it and hold me to that. So he tithed. He'd just gotten saved. I believe that's $500,000. You think that a church would like that, huh? No. They started arguing over what to do with the $500,000 and blew that church all to smithereens. You'd think they'd just rejoice and give God the praise and the glory and thank the man who tithed. No. No, well, I think we ought to do this. Well, I think we ought to do that. Well, I don't think we ought to do that. Blah, 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 blah. Boom! No more church. So a lot of times when we're saying, Lord, we need more money, you might not know what you're asking for. Drama that you cannot control. These men could not control the wind. They could not control the sea. They could not even control the ship. No matter how hard they toiled in rowing. No control. Can't find Jesus. What are you going to do? You're going to have some severe mood swings. Where it looked like God was really doing something, and lo and behold, the devil's going to come in there and try to destroy everything that has been accomplished. And you're going to need the Lord to lead you and guide you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, what not to do, what not to say, so you don't make it worse. My wife told you about her going to Paraguay. She actually went down there to help Brother Tim Fuller. Got to be a blessing to him. I don't know if she was or not, but she's working at it. Because there were a lot of mood swings taking place. You're going to have to get prepared for some frightening circumstances. I mentioned last night, people want to know, is it safe in Nigeria? Well, you know what? You might go there and the bullets start flying. You do remember there was a young independent Baptist missionary family that went to, was it Cameroon? Wesco? Have I got that name correct? And they had been there 12 days when they were going to make their first trip to the grocery store. Got in the middle of a civil war. And that missionary got shot in the head with his oldest son in the car with him. After 12 days, his missionary service was over. There were some severe mood swings connected to that. His wife, his children, his parents. How are we going to get this girl and our grandchildren out of that country? We were praying. We took up an offering to help buy plane tickets. They were having trouble getting the passports and the visas and all that stuff. They eventually got that girl and those children out of that country. Severe mood swings. We're used to America where even if something bad happens, there's usually something you can do to get some kind of justice. In Cameroon, all you can do is say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you have enough faith to do what God told you to do when it's dark? Can't find Jesus. Frightening circumstances. Loneliness. One of the most difficult things, I believe, for American missionaries is going to a country, leaving their family, leaving their friends, leaving their church, going where they're not wanted, they were not invited, they were not welcomed when they got there, and most people are against them every day. Church, we need to pray for these missionaries. We gathered here tonight to pray for these missionaries. That doesn't need to be the last time we pray for them. It's going to get dark. Loneliness. Jesus is in the mountain alone. The disciples are in the sea alone. Somehow the work of God becomes a lonely place when you are obedient and willing to do His will. It can be dangerous. The walk, Sister Maria Selman, missionaries out of our church to Mexico City. He was in his 50s when he surrendered to go to the field. Didn't know Spanish. His wife was born in Mexico City, so at least he had a good sister Mary, a translator. Even though she was rough as a night in jail as a teacher, but she expected him to just catch on to it. But you don't just catch on to a foreign language in your 50s unless God just really helps you. I told him, I said, when they got ready to go to Mexico City, he didn't even do deputation because I told him he'd already had 3 heart attacks. I got up on a Sunday night and told the church, I said, this guy won't even survive 3 years deputation. He needs to go to Mexico City tomorrow. I said, look at it like this. If you'll support him, he won't last long. And you'll get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for supporting him his entire ministry in Mexico City. And it won't even cost you much. Well, I really believed it when I was telling them that. Lo and behold, I think he's healthier than ever. That's been 7 or 8 years ago. We took up his support in a Sunday night service, his home church. And he said, "Well, I'm going to load my pickup. We're going to head to Mexico City." I said, "No, no, 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 no. Do not drive your truck to Mexico City." He said, "Well, we need to take this and this." And I said, "No, you need to take 2 suitcases apiece. Buy everything you need in Mexico City." Well, he loved that truck. 4-door beast, like I'm driving this week. Thank you, Brother Fuller. You know, that thing will scat if you'll stick your foot in it. It'll go. I think somebody's been putting their foot in it. Because that truck acts like it's used to that. Brother Walt had a truck that he really loved. They got about 100 miles from the border. Lights flashing. He pulls over. And the guy that gets out of the vehicle with the lights flashing has a ski mask on and an automatic rifle. And he said, "When I saw that guy walking up to my car, I could hear my pastor saying, 'Do not drive this truck to Mexico City. It's too dangerous.' That's when the drug cartels were stopping just about everybody." They tell him, "Get out of the car." They said, "Go get in the ditch right there." Well, his wife, Sister Maria, she walked over to the ditch and then she turned around and walked right back up to that guy with the rifle and the ski mask. And she said, "We are missionaries. We are the children of God. We are going to take the gospel to these people so they can be saved and go to heaven when they die. Are you saved?" Now, I'm not recommending that. I'm just telling you what she did. I'm just telling you the story, best I know. Brother Walt said, "I just knew this guy was going to shoot my wife." But the guy said, "Get in your truck. Get out of here. If I ever see this truck again, this truck is mine." He went on to Mexico City, built a beautiful church. 3-story building. I mean, just a beautiful building on the side of a mountain in Mexico City. He came home a year ago. He had his shoulder messed up. Was going to have his shoulder operated on. And it was going to take about a year for him to heal up. do a little deputation or furlough type deputation, and he got ready to go back, man. He drove his truck up here. I said, "Brother Walt." He said, "It's not as dangerous as it was 7 years ago." I said, "It don't have to be as dangerous. It's still dangerous." I said, "Sell the truck. Get two suitcases." "Well, we've already bought some of this and some of that. We need the truck to haul it all back down." I said, no, don't do that." They did it. They got about 75 miles from the border. Ski mask. He said, "Preacher, I could just hear your words ringing in my ears. Sell the truck." About the same thing happened. Guy come up there, starts talking to him. Sister Maria starts talking to him. And now, don't try that, ladies, unless you believe God's leading you, okay? Don't think just because she did it, you did it. But she did it. And the guy took pictures of their license plate, pictures of the truck. And he said, "I'm sending these to my partners further down the road. If they see this truck, they're going to take it." They turned around, came back out. This was kind of in the middle of the week, like Tuesday, I think, something like that. Not much traffic. He waited till Friday when a lot of people were getting on the roads. And he called me and told me, he said, "I'm going to wait till the traffic picks up and then I'm going to go back down." And I said, "Why don't you just sell the truck? I'm going to have a heart attack." Friday came, they get out there and they get on the road, and lo and behold, a federale vehicle with a machine gun. He's driving down the road, Brother Waldis gets right in behind him. He made it to Mexico City. I'm talking about, can you obey God when it gets dark? And you don't know how it's going to turn out. These disciples did not know how it was going to turn out. It was dark and Jesus was not coming to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 20 or 30 furlongs, that's about 2 football fields. That's not getting along very fast. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. How big I've been rejoicing. But they supposed they had seen a spirit. According to one of the Gospels. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Woo! Glory to God. If you're ever there when it's dark and you think Jesus is nowhere around, if he ever says that to you, everything will be all right. What happened when Jesus showed up? Verse 21, "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." As soon as he shows up, they looked, and there's where they were trying to get to, even though they'd been toiling and rowing, couldn't get anywhere. I'm telling you, missionary, there's going to come a day that you're going to be trusting God, and you're going to be obeying God, and you're going to be working hard, and you're going to feel like you're going nowhere. And it's going to get dark. And you're going to pray and you can't find Jesus anywhere. But you just keep on rowing. Keep on trusting. Keep on rowing. Keep on believing. Keep on obeying. Keep on doing what you believe God told you to do, which was in this case, go to the other side. And when Jesus does show up, you're going to say,
We made it. We made it. He can do in 1 second what you can't do in rowing all night. I'm telling you, here's what we got to have if we're going to accomplish anything in the work of God. We got to have enough faith to believe that if we'll do what God told us to do, He will take care of everything else in His way and in His time, even if it means a bullet in your head in the middle of a civil war. You say, that's hard. Amen, it sure is. But do we believe Him or not? Do we believe Him enough to just obey? And maybe He'll do the miraculous, not once, but twice, like He did for Walt Selman. Or maybe He'll just see if you'll be obedient and trust Him if things don't work out. Oh, preacher, you don't really believe the Lord would do that, do you? Well, I did read in the Bible where they cut James' head off. I did read Fox's Book of Martyrs where they boiled some of them in oil, crucified some of them upside down. It doesn't always work out like we think it ought to work out. Do you have enough faith to obey Him when it does not work out? Is He not worthy? Is not our Savior worthy of our faith and our obedience and our worship and our praise and our joy unspeakable and full of glory? Instead of whining and complaining about how life is not fair. And after all that I've done for Thee, look how You're treating me. There's a man acting like a woman again. You need some missionaries, some preachers. Just man up. Believe God. Do what He said. Let the chips fall. Would you be that man? Every one of those men that's here tonight need a wife who's willing to do the same thing. Because if you resist Him and fight Him when it's dark and you can't find Jesus, now His job's 10 times harder. Right, men? It's 10 times harder. If you'll get in that yoke with Him, say, honey, here we go. Let's do this. We know God's in it. Let's just do it. If you'll work together, when it gets dark, hold hands, bow your heads, and take it to God. And seek His guidance. And seek His comfort. And seek His peace. And seek His wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Get that girl by the hand that God brought into your life. And bow your heads and pray together and trust God no matter how dark it gets. No matter how hard you have to row. Because if when Jesus does show up, the land will be right there. You'll say, man, we worked so hard. How did this work out so fast? He's the Creator. I don't know if He moved the land. I don't know if He moved the ship. I don't know if it was there all the time and they just couldn't see it because of the high wind and waves. All I know is He worked it out. and He will work it out for you one way or the other. If you're saved by the grace of God, it may mean drowning and going to heaven, but that'll still be a workout. Do you have the faith to believe that? No matter how dark, no matter how difficult, that however He decides to work it out, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Whatever we go through will not come close to what He went through at Calvary in our place for our sins. So we ought to just rejoice that we've got it as good as we do. Father, pray You bless the message. Touch somebody's heart tonight. Somebody may feel like they're in the dark right now and can't find You. And I pray, Father, they'd ease down here and seek You with all their heart. You said if we'd seek You with all our heart, we'd find You. And I'm thankful that You never leave us and never forsake us. But Lord, I could give illustrations at times that it sure seemed like You were gone. But You always worked it out. And I'm so thankful that we have such a good Savior, such a great God. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for loving us enough that You don't make it easy for us. These parents are making a terrible mistake when they try to make everything easy for their children. Father, I'm glad You loved us enough that You refused to do that. You put us under the pressure so we could grow. And we thank You for that tonight. I pray especially again for these missionaries that we started this service tonight praying for. And I pray You'd use this message not to discourage them, but to encourage them, that You'd always have Your eye on them. And You'd know even when they're in the dark exactly where they are. When they can't find You, You won't have any problem finding them. Thank You, Father, that You do all things well. In Jesus' name I pray.